Well, good morning again to all. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and those who might hear this tape that applies to you as well. We pray God's blessing on you this morning, and as we go forward, that he will be in the midst of us. Deaconess Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer, we'll get started.
Let's bow our heads. Holy Father, we gather this morning seeking your truth and asking for your guidance and your strength. Lord, give us the courage as we start this new day, for there is much work for us to do. And we ask at the end of the day that you grant us the courage to see your guiding hand and the strength that you have given each of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Psalm 27:14, which tells us to wait on you and be of good courage, for you shall strengthen our hearts. And thank you for being patient with our human weaknesses and our single-mindedness. Lord, the Bible talks about people with no faith, little faith, and faith like a wave. But we know, Lord, Father, that our faith comes into proportion to how much we study and read and meditate, act, and hear your word. Father, help us keep your word in our hearts and to plant your word in our spirit, and always for us to remember that faith is a heart thing and not a head thing.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, help us understand that prayer does not cause faith to work, but faith calls prayers to work. We pray for Bishop Cuff, who do your holy work of teaching and guiding your sheep. Father, continue to guide him with your wisdom and your shield for protection from the snares and traps of the enemy. We pray, Father, that he not yield to temptations, but go as he goes about his daily duties. Sister Cuff, Lord Jesus, and continue to give her the hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Thank you for her being rooted and grounded in your love and filled with the fullness of you. Father, bless them both and continue to guide and be their bright and morning star. Father, we pray for the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry.
Yes, thank you.
Find us, Lord, always to look up to you when we are down. But it is you who pull us through every trial and every tribulation.
Yes.
Give us strength over all temptations. It is you who gave up all there was to give by going to the cross for us. Help us to turn our hearts to you, Lord Jesus, and away from this sinful world. We pray that we always stay close to you. Father, bless each member and place your angels at the entrance point to all our homes this morning. Keep out any wandering spirits that may try to gain access. Lord, thank you for your spirit's protection around each of us. And let us never forget to put on our full armor every day.
Yes.
Pray that the light of our Lord Jesus shine through us every day. Therefore, Lord, protect the members of our military who are called to serve our nation. Keep them safe, strong, God-fearing, with courage in their steps. Father, bless their families and hold them in your loving hands. And we pray for Brother Joseph this morning and ask that you
please,
keep
Lord,
him and return him home to his family and to our fellowship.
Yes,
Lord.
Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy, for it allows us to face our future with confidence and hope.
Yes.
We pray that we continue to have faith in your ability to sustain us, to nurture us, and always be with us. And continue to give us the strength and the courage and comfort and confidence to do whatever is necessary to spread the glad tidings that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Lord, no matter what happens to or around us, no matter how dark, desperate, or corrupt things might seem, no matter how grim things may look or how bleak our future prospects look, let us always remain submissive, obedient, and faithful to you. Grant us your peace, Lord, as we go through our storms. We know that you are our source of peace, and we thank you for showing favor upon us this morning, Father,
yes,
as we walk in agreement with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing the requests and petitions of your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Sister Freeman, we thank you as always, for God is using you and others in this church that will speak for us. And so we always are grateful that you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to represent us as a church before God. This morning I want to talk to you about something that is very, very serious to me. And I pray that it's very serious to you. I want to preface this by saying I'm seeing things that are happening. I have a friend that lives out in Ohio that I think I mentioned. He had called me and asked me to pray with his mother every day she was in the hospital. And I did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I didn't hear from him until he called me yesterday. And come to find out, he had been in the hospital and had surgery that he had 80% blockage in both of his legs.
Mm.
And here was a fellow that was a very feisty and hardcore special forces type in the military, and he still verbally is feisty. But life has a way of getting the upper hand. Amen?
Amen.
And no matter what we think we are in our minds, the reality is that when it's all said and done, it's clearly laid out that in Ephesians, only what you do for Christ will last. And so this morning, I want to try to identify something that seems to, in this kingdom, to be eluding us, that we are being told by false prophets to the degree that it's now become everyday thing with those who profess to be Christians, when in reality, it's totally contrary to the will of God and his son, Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 22 through 27, and I will be speaking primarily from this 23rd verse. And if you have opened your Bibles to Luke 9:22, would you please say amen, and I'll continue on.
Amen.
Amen.
Luke 9:22 through 27 reads as follows. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders." So God bless you. "The chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day will rise to life." Hallelujah. "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Hallelujah. "I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death, but before they see the kingdom of God." And so this morning, I want to focus in on this 23rd verse of the 9th chapter. I encourage you to read the whole chapter at your leisure today. And I say today, in other words, when you get home, you should not put your Bible down. I want you to get off this call. But you should be meditating on this word all day and all night. Today is the Sabbath day. It's been set aside by God for us. And like many other things in this kingdom, we totally disregard it. Sunday is a day that we can rest. I watch my neighbors come outside with their bathrobes on to get their newspaper to go back in and recline and watch the Face the Nation and all the other things on television and read all the sales and all the items in a newspaper and yet have no time for the Creator. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's the times we live in. So in this text, when you have a chance, read chapter 9. It talks about Jesus sent out the 12, and Jesus fed 5,000. And Peter confession of Christ, which is in the area that we'll be in. And then it goes on to the transfiguration. and continues. I'm telling you this to encourage you to read your Bible daily. For those of you who go on the internet and get the daily devotions, and I might add, for those who do not get it, you are missing a blessing. I know that, and I'll share this with you, that it's about half that read it every day. There's some who haven't read it in months. If you click on those, I know you clicked on it because it sends me back. I know who reads them and I know who don't. But what's more important, God knows who reads them. And God is the one that you better make sure that you're pleasing in his sight. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Those devotionals are very helpful. In addition to that, Brian, it takes a while to get used to hearing Brian because he has that real raspy, spooky sounding voice. But that boy is in tune with the Father. For those who have listened at him, should be able to say amen.
Amen.
He talked the other day about some things that after he finished reading the scriptures, he went on to preach, in my opinion. He's 29 years old, by the way, lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And he started this daily devotional a year or so ago, and just being obedient to God. And now he's spread into foreign countries. He now has testimonials that people leave asking for prayer. And all this is done through the internet. And the power that we have on these items of things in this kingdom, if we use them for God's glory, it's just awesome.
Amen.
And you can be blessed at the outreach ministry of Julius C. Freeman Sr., with these tapes and other things. These tapes are powerful. My sister, who is weak now, and she told me I got the tape, and she said, "Well, are you preaching on there?" And see, here's the reality: you don't know who will be blessed by those tapes. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And here now, when she gets her strength, she'll listen at a sermon that talks about let not your hearts be troubled. Do you know how many people need to hear that every day?
Amen.
And now you have the power, by the grace of God, to get it to them. And just so you make no mistake about it, and those who listen in as well, you can go to the Word of God Church website, and you can click on the right-hand side of the sermons when you go to the message page. You, not only can you listen, you can go right on that page and click on email, and you can email it to someone. The young lady that lost her husband the other day kind of emailed that Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled sermon to him. It's just a matter of seconds. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And you just click on it. You see, we spend too much time in this kingdom with foolishness, instead of focusing on helping people get their souls right with God. And what better thing could you do for someone who's lost a loved one and put them in tune with God on a daily basis?
Amen.
I encourage you to pass these on to others. God didn't give them just for us at Word of God Church. He gave it to us to give to others. And so I pray that you will do that. Back on our text this morning, and I ask you to be prayerful. We have quite a few folks that are missing. This room's usually filled up, and it's not this morning. I know some of it's due to the price of gas, which now is at $3.45 for high tests. Thank God that we do have this online ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Because sooner or later, that gas is going to overtake, you know, and it's not going away. It's going to get worse. So I told you, I sent you out a notice months ago about a tsunami coming, and it's showing its ugly hair. It's just out over the horizon. 63,000 people lost their jobs last month. And the sad part of it is that is last month. They have had the worst foreclosures in decades. And it's not even close to peaking yet. Home values, there is no value, no home, and no equity in a home. It's slipping away in some places at 15% a month. And so many people now have inverted mortgages. They owe more on their mortgage than their house is worth. One area where the house was selling for $400,000, it is down by $100,000 in value. It's a tsunami coming. It is time for those who know the Lord to have a personal and close relationship with him, because all these worldly things that you own are getting ready to be shaken. And I'm starting to see people who you would think would be steadfast, unmovable, are now starting to quiver. When you find people who have master's degrees and can't find a job. By the way, that ain't most of the folks that go to our schools. I'm talking about the masses of Americans now are suffering. You see, we've been suffering all throughout existence. But now it's starting to hit. And so if you can witness to anyone, I don't care what race, creed, or color, you will be helping people through a time that's coming that they're going to need the Lord in their business. You see, most of us are still out here chasing this wind. And hopefully at the end of the conclusion of this sermon that you'll have a better understanding about this call to be a disciple. And for those who are taking notes, the title of the sermon this morning is The Bible Requirements for Discipleship. It is so easy to talk this game, but it is quite another story to walk it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I want to start by reading to you a synopsis of John MacArthur's book, It's Hard to Be a Believer. I listen, because I have it on tape, at it quite often, because John MacArthur has been blessed. He's not necessarily liked in most of Christendom. I mentioned to you, I used to listen at him faithfully every night at 8 o'clock on BBN, the Bible Broadcasting Network, which here locally comes out of Ashland. And one day he was not there anymore. I called the radio station, and they told me to call Charlotte, North Carolina, and talk to the folks at BBN, which I did. And they said that his theology had gone too far. And what they really were saying is that we live in a day and a time where people only want their itching ears to be fed with things that are palatable and easy for them to digest, and not the truth of the gospel. And so this morning I want to start by reading this synopsis from John MacArthur. It says he gets to the heart of Christian faith and discipleship by revealing the challenging things Jesus had to say about his true followers. And you might want to make your note about this word true followers, because as you know, in the New Testament, he talks about the true followers versus ones who call his name and they're not his. There is a vast difference between a true follower of Christ and one who calls his name. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The synopsis goes on to say that the popular perception of Jesus Christ is that of a temperate gentleman who walked the earth offering nuggets of wisdom to his followers. But what we sometimes fail to realize is that although Jesus Christ offered a message of forgiveness, he also spoke challenging and demanding words about what being a follower of Christ requires. And the last part of it is, in contrast to the superficiality of much modern Christian teaching, John serves up the unvarnished truth of what Christ taught and lived. In simple, compelling terms, he spells out what is required of those who would follow him, going beyond Jesus' life to include the crucifixion and the resurrection. John shows readers that Jesus' model, the commitment and loving obedience he requires of us by making the ultimate sacrifice for humankind. And so this morning, by the powers of the Holy Spirit, I prayed and asked God to help me to deliver this sermon so that you will be clear and have a clear, concise understanding of what the requirements of you and I as believers. And so I encourage you to take good notes. Most of what I will speak to you about will come out of scriptures. I will be reading you a lot of scriptures to make the case of that we who are truly following Christ must do what Luke 9:23 says. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, if you want to truly follow Christ, you have to deny yourself, pick up his cross daily, and follow him. Most of us are not geared to do that. We have not the ears to hear that, nor the heart to obey that. And so this morning, I want to make sure that I've done my job, and that's to inform you about what Jesus says, which, by the way, goes to the heart of being a Christian. You see, if you say you want to be a Christian, but the reality is, do you really want to go through the rigors and the radical change that must take place in your life? Let me give you some clue about it as we go. Melanie is feeding her family wholesome and nutritional foods. That's radical compared to how most of us eat.
Amen.
And you get to the point when you're so used to being fed a lie or fed the wrong foods that when the real stuff comes along, it's not palatable. You're not going to be able to stomach it. You're just not, this is crazy. I'm not going to sit up here and eat blueberries and nuts for breakfast. And I'm not going to eat green peppers and other fruits slightly sautéed or grilled with virgin olive oil. It brought back when I was at Bank of America, we had a new company that came in from California to take over the cafeteria. And they were putting out foods like Melody puts out. And people come down for lunch and walk in there or for breakfast and used to having big Jack pancakes piled to the top with butter and cornstarch, in other words, syrup on it. And they got outrageous about it. What I'm not eating, what is this? What, they couldn't even pronounce the names of the items that were there. And these folks went and opened up the cafeteria windows. They had these great big windows, and that way you can, and they put flowers on the table, and they put tablecloths on, and you could actually sit there, and it was a nice environment with wholesome food. And those people, and you know who they are, complained until a bank had to get rid of that company. Everything that they put out was healthy. It was nourishing. But you see, when you get fed the wrong thing for so long, it is hard to digest the proper thing. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, you can eat so much junk for so long that when you eat something that's nourishing, you get diarrhea, upset stomach, you get dizzy. You just can't make it. It's like stop smoking cigarettes. You know, you got to be nourished off of that or weaned off of it. And so this is what is happening this morning in this text, is that what I'm about to cover with you is so deep and so unheard of today that it sounds far into the ears and therefore far into the mind and therefore far into the soul. So I ask that you bear with me, that you take good notes, and if nothing else, you get this tape and listen at it over and over again. And then the challenge comes. Then do it. Your eternal life depends on what I'm about to tell you. This is no joke. This is no fun thing. This is serious. eternal life that we're talking about. And again, Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's talk for a minute or two about this notion about self-denial. Let me identify what self-denial is in relationship to where we're going. It is the denial of self, not for the sake of a greater good to self, but for the sake of doing good to others. This is really denying yourself. Did you get that? When you deny yourself, you must deny yourself for the good of others, not for the good of yourself. Number two, self-denial is a real sacrificial thing of self-interest from disinterested motivations. That is, from a singleness of I to the glory of God, to do good to others. Let me rephrase that. You and I must get to the point with our self-denial when we have a single interest, a single purpose, and that is to be focused on the glory of God and to do good to others. You see, self in reality argues against that point. We've been taught all our lives that self-preservation is what? The first law of nature. And so we are concerned with what we want. And the more I study this, the more I find it pathetic that you live just for yourself. You see, we are reaping what we've sowed. We have homes that have no fathers in them because self was in charge. We have young women having baby after baby after baby because self is the most important thing. It's not the importance of having a child and then raring a child in a godly way. It's important that I get my pleasure, and if it slips up and ends up in a child, it's just a child. Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
You see, self is so devastating that you can't get around dealing with it. With sadness, I saw where two young ladies on two different campuses who were trying to go to school to get educated, and two ungodly men killed both of them for self, and took the one girl's credit card and her car and had the self-ignorance to go to an ATM machine who took his picture and the card in his hand. And the license plate, listen at me, self is totally destructive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It has no godly value to it. And people who are self-centered and self-serving are demons.
Amen.
I don't care what, you know, again, Hillary Clinton or whatever her name is might say that I need to be fired because I call somebody a demon. A demon is a demon.
Amen.
And you got to call them as they are. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
And people who are self-centered fall into that category. Now, here's another point, and I hope you're taking notes. What is implied in self-denial? I'm flipping the coin here. True holiness of the heart, or supreme disinterest in love to God. You see, church, if God's glory is so perfect to our own happiness and our own conviction that we deny ourselves for the sake of the glory of Him, it proves that our love to Him is supreme. Did you get that? If you truly live a holy life, a life of self-denial, that proves that you love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, Self-denial implies a disinterest in love to men. If we deny ourselves for the sake of promoting their happiness, whatever their happiness is greater good than our own, it shows that we love them according to the requirements of the law of God. And that's the problem with our marriages today, amongst other things. You see, no denying oneself is in full play in our marriages today. Amen, lights. We're not concerned with our mate. We're concerned with ourselves. Help me, lights.
Amen.
You see, we don't have a love for our mate. Listen at me. If you just take yourself out of the equation and do everything for your mate, you will be blessed.
Amen.
Your marriage would be blessed.
Amen.
But what we do is when I don't get my way, if it's not what I want, then it's over. I'm out of here.
Amen.
And that's why we have this large divorce rate. A nation is supposed to be so much has over 50-some percent of all marriages end in divorce. And then we say, in God we trust, what a travesty of justice. Point three. It implies giving up what which might be real good to us. Make sure you get that one. You know, I had a blessed occasion of my oldest son to call me yesterday, and normally when my children call, they all talk to their mother, and I'm sure that's the case in most families, that the father, he just get in there somewhere. But the conversation, whenever they, Connie brings me the phone and says one of the kids are on there, which is very rarely, but in this case it happened. Well, let me retract that. It's in my memory, it's very rarely. I have one child that I talk to every day. My wife read back in her chair, but I got to speak what I know. And now I'm going to keep on my sermon too. Listen at me. He asked me a question. Daddy, can you tell me if, and it started off, I want to get something that I know I don't need, but I want. And that drew me right back to this sermon. You see, when self-denial comes, it implies that you're giving up that which might be good for us. And I told my son, what I recommend you do is lay low with whatever it was. I don't know what it was, nor do I care, because we're living in dangerous economic times. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If
Amen.
If you ever had a notion to stop buying, it is now. If you ever had a notion to start saving money, it's now.
Amen.
It's not a time to spend money. I don't care what Brother George says. When you get that little $300, $600, or $1,200, if you're wise, you're going to put that into a savings account or into a CD or something other than go out and spend it. You see, that word spend comes close to selfishness. You get paid and you spend everything. And then when you're broke, hook me up. Y'all might as well say amen.
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 Bible speaks about that. You see, those who have money are to give it to the poor. You don't work just for yourself. You work to give to others. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, you can't get around God's word. You might frown at me and do whatever you got to do, but the reality is his word will be here after all of us are gone.
Amen.
And so back on this point three, it implies that giving up that which might be real good to us, it is no proper denial of self unless we might benefit by the things which is given. Hey, man, God bless you. My grandson, Melvin, just came in. I thought he was in Philadelphia. And so they just got back. So we give God the glory that he brought him back safely.
Amen.
Amen.
Back on this point three. Self-denial has to go beyond our benefit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so we must, as we go forward with this sermon today, start getting a grip on what self-denial is. Point four. Self-denial implies the joyful giving up of what we need. Did you get that? Self-denial implies on the joyful giving up what we need. You know, that's been very helpful to me because I'm trying to give up things that might seem simple to others, but to me, they're extremely important. As you know, my food is extremely important to me. And at the same, yeah, it's true. You know, if we learn to know what our weaknesses are, we'd be better off. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And I love food. Food that ain't no good for me, fried food.
Amen.
Until I start reading these labels, I'd eat any kind of food. Now I don't want no food with sodium benzazine in it. I don't want no canned foods. I mean, it's getting rough. But that's the principle. Giving up what we need or what we might contribute for our comfort for the purpose of doing a greater good to others. Please note that. You see, until you start giving up what you want and start helping someone else, you're no value to anyone.
Amen.
Talked about that with my precious wife the other day. Let me back up a little bit. You know, for years, there was only one computer in this house. And you know, and I would argue about TV, kind of saying, you stand back, you're on a computer all day. And Priscilla was visiting with us a year or so ago, and her and Connie were supposed to get Connie's reef business going in high gear. And I went and got our webpage, and by the grace of God, got her a computer. And I was saying, she ain't going to use this computer, and they ain't going to set up no web business. Well, part of that was true. But the other part wasn't true. Whenever I can't find Connie, she's in there typing. It is the most blessed thing, and most of the time she's typing to somebody in Word of God Church. And I am just overjoyed to see her with that little fat head bent forward and she looking at the keys. You know, I've learned to type where I don't need to look at them. Connie be working them. She looked like a reporter. She's just pecking away on them keys.
Amen.
And she done got so now the office door, she shuts it. In other words, I'm supposed to keep walking. And now I know that, so I'm reluctant to open that door. But every once in a while, I got to open it, and there she goes, just pecking away. And I bring that up to say she's using that for other people. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You and I must always consider the importance of others over ourselves.
Yes.
Back on point four, let me give you an example. Here is a man who had been to the baker's and purchased a loaf of bread for his supper. He has been laboring hard and really needs the bread. But in passing a miserable habituation of poverty, that's a strong description, a little pale and obviously needy child stand at the door and stretched out his little begging hands and asked for the bread. Can you visualize that? You'd have gone and got your money out your account, and now you're heading to the store, to Walmart, and you come up on a corner, and there's a old beggar saying, "I'll work for money," when he looks like he could hardly stand up on that corner. And now you got to go in your pocket and you don't have nothing but 10s and 20s. That's a better story than this bread story.
Amen.
You see, because that brings it right down to today. You see, we are challenged every time we go to Kroger's, which you have to pass Walmart, and that's where this man stands at. He stands there every day. And every day we come up, Connie, God bless her soul, reaches for her pocketbook. And I'm trying to drive, so I ain't reaching for nothing. But I do reach in my little cigarette thing, which I keep changing. And, you know, when people come out of Walmart, they're going in looking crazy, and they come out acting crazy. So you can't get too far behind, you know, blocking that traffic. But we attempt to give him money. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Because that's what the essence of life is, and one where we have self-denial. It's not to judge who he is or what he is. It's to take the position that I have money. If he has it or not, that's not your judgment. Our judgment is to be self-denial enough to give up for someone else. You know, the scripture says you never know who you're entertaining. You could be entertaining an angel. But see, if you're selfish, you're going to come up in your mind with all kind of reasons why you can't give up that chump change that you get. And that's why selfish people don't have nothing. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
So now I think I've given you a good introduction, and now I want to deal with the scriptures. You know, you can fuss with me, but you can't argue with the word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And throughout the New Testament, this is not peculiar just to Luke. This matter of denying oneself and picking up the cross and following Christ daily is clearly delineated. Let me draw your attention back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, which you should know by heart, by the power of the Spirit. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Church, I to this day, that is a profound statement by Christ. No one in all of my youth coming up in a church ever mentioned it. Never said it, I never heard it. That enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This text has profound implications on this self-denial. You see, it elaborates the golden rule. You see, Jesus presents the way of access to righteousness. Righteousness is demanded. Go to Matthew 5:20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Does that come through the wide gate or the broad road? No. Rather, it comes through a small gate, a narrow road. You see, in light of his whole sermon on the Mount, it is obvious that Jesus is comparing the wide gate and the broad road to the outward righteousness of the Pharisees. You know those scoundrels? They talk a good game. They walk around with robes on and tassels hanging off of them. And today they have doctor's degrees on their robes and go with the title of doctor, reverend, whoever they are. I look at some of these full gospel churches who have integrated the Baptist faith with the Roman church. And one brother, Eddie Long, down in Atlanta, he's come up with his own logo, and it's on his ring, and it's on the back of the top of the church where the choir, you can see it, where President Bush and Clinton and all them were there when Mrs. King passed away. You listen at me very closely. God sees all that.
It's not about Christ. It's about their little logo. It's on his robe. It's on everything. What happened to the cross of Jesus? Now, y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
What happened to the cross of Jesus? You see, Christ is telling us clearly, and it's clearly seen all around us, that in these days that we face today, you're going to have a wide road that most people take, and that's why Joel Osteen's church holds 40,000. People who don't are in darkness say, well, hold on a minute. He got 40,000 people there. Listen to what Jesus said, and tell me if you get it. You see, if you don't hear Jesus, you miss this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through there. You see, lost people are people who don't know Christ, who haven't been called by him. They go on big numbers. Those of us who know Christ know it ain't about no big numbers. It's going to be few people who get in. See, that's the trick of the devil. To tell you to go find this big edifice like one sits down the street here from us. That you got to have four Henrico County police to get the people in and out of there. Faith Landmark. Listen at what Christ says. Narrow is that gate. And that road refers to Jesus' knowledge that few will find the true way. The way that leads to life, to heaven. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And contrast that with the ones who are on that wide road sitting up in these big edifices and have no knowledge of who Christ is. And they're headed for total destruction. If you believe it, say amen.
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 Listen to Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Listen, church, the Lord's call to make every effort to enter. Luke 13:24. Strive, church, to enter. The Greek word is agonizomai, from which we get our word agonize. This is the kind of moral effort necessary to enter the kingdom, church. We cannot be saved by our efforts. Yes, that's a fact, but we shall not believe without an effort. Agonizomai. You got to agonize over denying yourself. What am I doing to deny myself? And a lot of these things are material things. What are the three things we always got to keep our eye on? One of them is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. And what's the third one? I'm talking to y'all.
Greed. Flesh. Greed.
Uh-huh.
Rage.
Yep, we just see, we don't see it. This is what Jesus is talking about. When you love the world, those three things are in play. So when we get down to the love of the world is not in you and in his kingdom. Why? Because we have to deny those three things. Are y'all getting this? You got to deny those three things. And it's the devil's job to keep you on point. I was noticing with interest how these two campaigns, one of them have learned good from the one who's currently holding the office. Stay on point. You see, they're where it's seen. You don't have to tell the truth. Keep saying it over and over again. And guess what happens? They'll start believing it. Keep following these three points, and you'll believe it over the truth. We're told that in the last days that they will deny the truth and accept the lie. This march that we're marching on, church, is a radical change. This is no light change. That's what the wide gate does. This requires us to make a radical change. And Jesus made it clear that some will start out, but they can't handle it. The rich man, he couldn't deal with giving up his possessions. And he went away sad. And others go back to Matthew's the 28th chapter, up around the 17th verse, when he said some sat down and some still didn't believe him. And they saw the witness that he did. This is not an easy walk we're on, church. Self-denial is extremely difficult. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Listen to John chapter 6, verse 27 to 29. Do not work for food that spoils or perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work of God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent me. Listen, church, we must agonize over being sure to enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Church, Jesus was asked by a few this scenario. Someone asked, and I'm in Luke chapter 13, verse 23 through 29. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of a house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you came from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth, and you'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from the east and from the west and north and the south, and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Are you starting to get this? The whole New Testament lays this out. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 40. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And anyone who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If anyone who does not take his cross up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Church, these words are riveting to me. I'm doing all I can not to cry, because it's so deep that you cannot afford the luxury of playing church You can't get on that wide road, and you must do all that you can to save your loved ones. Making an excuse for our sins won't do it. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I just read to you that if you love your family more than you love me, you won't enter the kingdom of God. I don't believe in making excuses for my family. I never have, because I've always held my family up to a higher standard. Well, come on, somebody.
Amen.
You know, today, most of us, we make excuses. I don't believe in excuses, and the Bible does not teach excuses. Excuses are a cowardly approach to things. Stand flat-footed on God's word and stand up for the truth. See, when you get to the point where you try to please men, you don't have any trouble of stating the truth to mankind.
Amen.
Oh, y'all, come on with me. We have too many of our homes where we have no godly fathers in them, and our sons and daughters and grandchildren are running amok and awry because we won't stand up for the truth. The truth is that sin is sin, and sin will take you straight to the pits of hell. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If you love your children and love your relatives and even love your enemies, you will do all in your power to let them know that the gates of heaven are wide open for those who walk that narrow road. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Mark chapter 10, verse 21 through 31. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, and he's talking about the rich man that came to him. God, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. Then come and follow me. Don't you get that? He's making it clear you can't follow him until you give everything up. Verse 22, at this time the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had a great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for that rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of heaven? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
His disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Verse 27, and Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God. Peter said, we have left everything to follow you. And I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes and brothers, sisters, mothers and children and fields. Did you get that? And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who first will be last, and the last shall be first. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty, church. You can talk a good game and you can slander the preacher, but you can't get around God's words. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
In our text today, I want you to drop down in Luke 9, down to verse 57. And listen at this. Verse 57, Luke 9, 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes. And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Are you getting this?
Amen.
You notice that all those cases they talked, and when action came about, it was a different story.
Amen.
Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 30. I told you this morning, I'm going to let the word speak this message. Luke 14, 25 and 30. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turned to him and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brother and his sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. How do you hate your own life? And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. Suppose one of you went to build a tower. Will he not first set down and establish the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone will see he was a ridiculous man, saying, The fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Listen to me, church. You and I must count the cost. We must count the cost. There is no easy way to get into the kingdom. We've been taught that all our lives. There is no easy way to get into the kingdom. Amen. God is a good guy. Mimi, don't worry about that. I'm glad you're here. Mimi and Lance just got here. That old rugged cross, that time clock got them. But I'll tell you, as I tell the church, I'd rather for you be late and get here than don't get here at all. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
Luke chapter 17, verse 30 and 33. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house, On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside shall go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field shall go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? And you do remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
Yeah, Lot's wife, you're told don't look back to Sodom and Gomorrah, and she just had to look back. And she ended up being a pillar of what?
Salt.
Many years ago, I preached a sermon about remembering Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. We're in Luke 9:23. God bless Brother Lance. Lance got him a new Bible, fancy looking Bible. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I, yes, what I'm talking about. John chapter 12, verse 24 through 30. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds, deep. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servants also will be. Can I get a witness? My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No one was for this very reason I gave to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said, saw how it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. And Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. So as I'm coming to the end of these scriptures, I think you're getting the message that throughout this New Testament, we are constantly told about this denying oneself and picking up our cross daily and following Christ. I have a few more that I'd like to give you, and we'll be finished with this. Matthew 16, 15 through 28. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not come over it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day to rise to life. Hallelujah. And Peter took him aside. You know, church, let me stop. You stop thinking about it now. Jesus spoke, but Peter, he ain't going for that. And so he didn't call the Lord over to his side. I mean, just stop, visualize that. You talk to God incarnate in the flesh, but you don't like what he said. So now you go bring him over to the side to rebuke God. Peter was a trip, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
I mean, you talking about having heart. Yeah, and he go pull a master off to the side. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. You need to underline that.
Amen.
We cannot have the mind of things of this world or of men, but the things of God in our mind.
Amen.
You're not going to get in the kingdom any other way. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will find it. What good will it be for a man to gain this whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory, hallelujah, with angels. And he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth. Some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Take down Luke chapter 14, 28 through 35. Matthew chapter 13, 44.
14.
I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 35. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 51, through 50. Now, I've tried to give you some scriptures, and you might say some, sound like a lot of them, and read each one to you so that you can know that throughout the Bible we're being told this. We have to deny ourselves, we have to pick up our cross and follow Christ. So now you have it. Impart the Bible requirement for discipleship. You see, church, when we confess Christ, we embrace his dying on the cross for us. But we also accept the reality of the cross for ourselves. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, the necessity of the cross, Jesus transitions at this point. In 9:23, Jesus next informs us that and his disciples that they too will have a cross to carry. Then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The call to a crucified life demands a willingness to pour out one's life for Christ. Did you hear that? It is not easy pouring out your life for Christ. What are our crosses? I assume you're still taking notes. What are our crosses? They're not simple trials or hardships, church. You know, I've heard people all night say, well, I had this cross to bear. Uh-uh. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Some think of some boss. You ever say, man, that's my cross to bear, to have to put up with him? Well, y'all can relate to that one. Uh-huh. Or an unfair teacher for those who are in school. Or a mother that's about to pluck your nerves. Or a daddy, far as that goes. But they are not. And neither can properly we call them or our illnesses and handicaps a cross. A cross results from specifically walking in Christ's steps and embracing his life. Did you get that? It ain't about all this stuff that I just mentioned to you. It comes from bearing a disdain because we are following a narrow way to Jesus, the way and the truth and the life that John 14 and 6 tells us. It comes from living out the business and the sexual edicts of Christ in the marketplace. You remember he chased them all out of the temple, the
Amen.
Money changers. You see, we who follow Christ and have disdain for our own selfishness are in the process of bearing the cross. A cross results from specifically walking in Christ's steps. And so you got to go back and know how Christ walked. Christ had a humility about him, did he not?
Amen.
He was humble.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, Christ did not normally get aggressive with people, and yet he was. He had a distaste for ungodliness. But if you really look at following Christ, it will turn you completely upside down. If we just follow Christ, that's our call, that we must be Christ-like. Amen?
Amen.
So you and I, as difficult as it is to bear our cross, nonetheless, we must do it for Christ's sake. for what he has done for us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, the logic of the cross, as most of us might know, is that the necessity of the cross leads us to a logic. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. 9:24. You see, it is simple, church. If we use spiritual logic, we will know that there is nothing in this kingdom of value to us.
Amen.
Now, if we use earthly logic, I want my stuff.
Amen.
You know, I was getting ready to get smart and say, am I boring you? But I knew you were just tired because you lost that hour of sleep. Logic is what we have to make certain is within bounds of the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, on that subject, I'm so thankful that Lance and Mimi could have woke up and realized they were late and said, well, he knew he was going there. God bless you for that. You see, that shows that you know you could always come here no matter what hour, day or night. Just don't come in here drunk.
Man.
And you could actually come in here drunk, amen? But I wouldn't try that one. But everybody get that? You see, if you're late and you still have the faith and the courage and know that the fellowship still welcomes you, you know, you go in some churches, once they start preaching, they close the doors.
Amen.
I'm going to say somebody should be able to say amen. Mm-hmm. Or what happens is that people decide, there's no use me going, I'm late, they done closed the doors. Yeah, it's a good thing to be able to come in the house of the Lord no matter what time you get there. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now this cross, you and I must determine what we got to bear when we bear this cross, church. Bless you.
Thank you.
You see, this self-focus that we must have as believers is awesome. You know, one of the things that I see that we must battle against till we get there is what we focus our life, our time, and our money and efforts on. That will give you a good indication of where you're bearing your cross and walking with Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, when you get to the point where your focus is totally on Christ throughout the day, I heard it on Bible study. By the way, I encourage y'all to be on Bible study. The Bible says that if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father.
Amen.
And he also says that we must study to find ourselves approved. You can come up with all kinds of excuses, but let me tell you what the problem is. If you're not on Bible study, it's because the devil has given you logic to believe there was something else that you could do besides Bible study. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I stop by to tell you there is nothing else that you can do that could outperform the need to be amongst the saints studying God's word.
Yes.
Thank you, whoever said amen. You see, this kingdom will give you all kind of excuses. And the cross requires that you focus so much on being like Christ that you become numb to this kingdom. You become numb to the things that are important in this kingdom. That's your first signpost, is to know that if I'm following everybody else, I'm not following Christ. Because Christ said, only few will follow me. So if you're amongst the many, you are really among the few who are going into the kingdom. You got to flip that bad boy. And so you always have to be evaluating yourself.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we do. We must test ourselves to see if we are approved. We must test to see if we're following Christ and that we've picked up our cross. And to follow him simply means you must live as Christ lived. You must consider others more important than yourself. You must be cross bearers. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You must be self-denying. And you must follow Christ. So as I bring this to a close, I encourage you to go back over this and to listen at this tape over and over again. And every day I would encourage you to take a pen and pencil and make you that old Ben Franklin tee. And on one side say, bearing my cross, the other side is worldliness. And start listing them. And when you get to the point where you can't list none on the worldliness side, you could be all right. And for those of you who have this Full Life Study Bible, go back to that section where it has the themes. And look up that theme where it talks about worldliness, overcoming the world and worldliness. It starts in Genesis chapter 19, verse 15 through 26, and it ends in Revelations 21:7. Start going down that litany of scriptures and see if you got worldliness in you. I've given you a clear vantage point, and that is the three things that Jesus told us that we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of our pride, our self, and our greed. Our flesh, yeah.
Yes.
Somebody give them to me again, make sure I got them right.
Lust of flesh, lust of eyes.
Pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the light, the eyes, and the pride of life. Now let's translate that. What's lust of the flesh? Selfishness. Self-centeredness. And what's lust of the eyes? Got to have it. I see it, I want it. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
You got to stop that. And by the way, you know the word, so true. I was telling my oldest son when he called, he asked me what was I doing. I said I was just looking out the window, meditating on these trees and everything, and saying, boy, the Amish don't have to worry about it if they don't have no lights, because they don't work off of lights. So the wind blew all our lights. I didn't bother them. And they didn't have to worry about not being able to go to the grocery store and get food because the power was off, because they grow their own food. They don't have to worry about getting sodium benzazine and all this other stuff because they don't eat canned foods.
Amen.
You see what happens when you're obedient to God?
Mm-hmm.
You see, you stop thinking about it. Now, we done got so used to McDonald's, Hardee's, and Wendy's. And now all that food comes from China. You ain't got no more idea when they open that bag up and pour out those Chick-fil-A, where that coming from? Now, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Go up to that window and ask one of them people in that window, where did this come from? And they'll do just what y'all did. They'll laugh at I went to the pharmacy and asked the pharmacist, what percentage of these prescriptions come from China? And she looked at me like I was on drugs.
Yeah.
But now here she, the pharmacist, and don't know that 70% of all of our medicine is made in China. And then you want to know why you're too falling out, blood pressure ain't coming down.
Amen.
You eating up ground up chicken toenails. And you can't prove you're not, because you don't know what you're flopping down.
Amen.
See what happens when you're obedient? They'll pull an apple off the tree that has all the nourishment in it. You do know that the nourishment in the apple is in the skin. It's not in the husk or the end part of the apple.
Amen.
But most of the we peel off the and throw that in the trash. Yeah, and then fry them and put sugar off in that thing. You see how lost we are? We're totally pitiful. Let me bring this to a close. In closing, Jesus ended his command by challenging his followers to confess him because we will affirm his judgment and his kingdom on our behalf. 9:26 and 27 says, if any man is ashamed of me In my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And so I leave you with, church, who do you say Jesus is in your life? Is he a fraud? Some of us live like he is. He's not the center of our life. We buy our little change. I was out at the mall walking with Connie, and unfortunately our mall has turned into the hood mall. And the jewelry store got these big crosses with fake diamonds around them, and then fake something else around them, and these big old heavy chains.
Bling, bling.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, what'd you say?
Bling, bling.
Yeah, right. And they wear these things and shoot people. You see that see, God is a fraud to most of us who walk this earth. But I submit to you that the Son of Man is no fraud.
Amen.
He is no prophet. He is no mere teacher.
Amen.
He is the Messiah. And so the question that I leave you with, is he your Messiah? Is God's Son your Savior and King? If you confess him as Christ, you must cling to his body, his cross is your hope, I tell you. You must take up your own cross as you deny yourself and follow him. The question is, will you do this? Will you confess him as Lord by the way you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him daily? Let us pray.
At this time, I just want you to read a couple of passages from Matthew, and read a passage from Luke. Okay. First one would be from Matthew's 13, man, beginning with verse 20. And I'll be reading from the Living Bible. Church, have a say, man.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, "A shallow rock soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy. But he doesn't have much depth in his life."
Well.
"And the seed doesn't root very deeply."
Well.
"And after a while, when the trouble comes."
Amen.
"Our cautions begin because of his belief, his enthusiasm fades, and it drops out." "The ground covered with thistles represents a man who hears the message but cares of his life."
Mm-hmm.
"And his longing for money choked out God's word." "And he does less and less for God."
Well.
"The good ground represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 6, or even 100 others into the kingdom."
Yes.
Amen.
One Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to take you to Luke 17, verse 6.
Amen.
"If your faith were like the size of a mustard seed," Jesus answered, "it would be large enough to uproot that mulberry tree over there and send it hurling into the sea.
Mm.
Your command would bring immediate results.
Well,
may God have a blessing to the reading
of
the word.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Okay. Again, we have our communion. So those who have your communion, if you don't have it, get it ready. If you do have it, once we serve, we'll take our communion. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I used to serve at the, Connie and I used to go to a nursing home and do their Sunday services on the third Sunday, and the seniors couldn't grip the bread and stuff. I was doing this now. I'm picking all through the bread. And they couldn't get their cups out. You know, we'd take their communion cup around, and they'd stick their fingers all down in 6-8 cups before they get their one out. And God bless Connie. She would fix ours after it was all over. Too many fingers are gone in their nose and in their mouth and with them little slat rags. God bless her. So y'all got to watch me around this. I'm trying to find a little piece because I have to talk. And if it's too big a piece, I got to keep chewing. And then I'm always self-conscious about it. I'm holding y'all up chewing because I can chew now. God bless y'all. Let's quiet our hearts. Turn back to the scriptures. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for you meet meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe. No doubt there has to be divisions among you to show which of you have God's approval. When we come together, it is not for the Lord's Supper you eat, as for you eat, and each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Should I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." Let us commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we do ask for your mercy and for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, the scripture says that he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us all commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hear us, O Lord, we pray. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Help us that we may deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow you daily. I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Trustee Reeves, if you would give us an offertory report.
Last Sunday, we collected $133.85, so that's our total so far for March.
Amen. Another month we're starting. And before we close, I want to let you know that the for those who did not know, that you have CDs that aren't working, that the CDs, they are giving us another whole tub of 100 at no charge to us. And those will be able to be used on both the different types of CD players. So then those who need the CDs from the past will call. We'll gladly get them out to you. All minds clear?
Mm.
Any other business of the church? Let us pray. Father, we now come to the end of this service, but not to the end of the Sabbath. We pray, Father God, that you'll give us the spirit that we'll study our Bibles today in fellowship around the throne of grace. We ask that you be with Brother Joseph, Lord God, and guide him and Chip and all of our military men, Lord God, that you keep them ever in your presence and grant them your everlasting peace. We pray for the lost in our land, Lord God, and for those who are being murdered and slaughtered by ungodliness. We pray blessings on our children, Lord God, from the youngest, Brother Joseph, to the oldest of our young adults, that you walk with them, Lord God, guide them and direct their paths. Pray for the entire church that you will make us true witnesses that we can go out and tell a dying world about Jesus. Be with us, guide us, and direct us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace, for God walks with you. You are dismissed. God bless you.
God bless you all. Good evening.
You guys have a nice week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Same to you. Mm-hmm. Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.